And he leans over to me and he goes, "Bring it to me early tonight. Bring it to me early." I'm looking, I'm like, "All right, what's going on?" He said, "When I was a kid, David Robinson wasn't very nice to me." I said, "Say no more. This series is in a bag, man. That's it. That's it."
Everybody to the Lakers Legacy Podcast, where, as Shaq would say, "Staples, tell me how my purple and gold statue ass tastes." As this weekend, the big Aristotle, the Diesel, returned home as Shaq's Lakers statue was gloriously unveiled at Staples Center. And what a sight it was. Alan, what are your thoughts on the unveiling and just how the statue looked in general? Very iconic, perfect pose. I couldn't have thought of any other pose that perfectly represented Shaq or any other pose that they could have used, really. So
Yeah. It's like, how many dozens of times or even hundreds of times have we seen Shaq do that exact same thing as a player? I mean, they got it down to the most minute detail, to the Shaq logo emblem on the bottom of his shoe, to everything. So I thought the ceremony was spot on. It was perfect. Very classy, of course. And the list of speakers was phenomenal, going all the way through his kids and everything. So thought very classy by the Lakers. Extremely entertaining, of course.
You know, that statue, I thought that originally they're just going to put it somewhere on the ground, right? Or like, I didn't necessarily think that they'd have it hanging above the
right
rafters. And to have that scene almost look like a natural dunk is pretty cool, I think.
Oh,
it's
for sure.
One of a kind. I think one of a kind in any stadium, really. You know?
Absolutely. Totally.
So,
can you imagine like taking a picture under that thing?
You're
going to have to tell the person who's taking the picture, "Hey, yo, you got to go back like 25 yards just so we everything in here," which is pretty
epic.
It's going
to be a great picture. But anyways, yeah, crazy weekend this weekend in sports, basketball in general. Alan, I'm sorry about your UCLA Bruins. Lonzo Gonzo, but he is going to go to the NBA, so there's that.
Yep.
There was that crazy shot, Florida, Chiozo. Chioza, actually, sorry. Great game winner.
Crazy, man.
What, running one-footed three-pointer to win. Lakers also flashed the progress on Friday. Jordan Clarkson, career-high 8 three-pointers. Devin Booker, 70 points. Incredible, you know, incredible game. They lost, though. And apparently, this makes it a little less impressive, not to take anything away from Devin Booker, but apparently the Suns were fouling Celtics players at the end just so Devin Booker could get to 70. So that kind of taints it a little bit for me.
If you know that, yeah, absolutely.
It's
if
not
you're
as pure.
At this, you know, years down the line, "Oh, man, he's a second-year player. He did this and that." You know, I don't think there's going to be an asterisk at that point. But for right now, yeah, intrinsically, that just feels a little like, eh.
Yeah, but not gonna,
right.
Yeah,
still
but
extremely
he, yeah,
impressive,
exactly,
though, to get, you know, whatever it
He's
was.
He's only 20, 21,
That's
70,
crazy.
70 points, great. Yeah. But hopefully next time you win the game and don't do random antics like
Basketball
that.
Basketball guys don't like that.
Yeah, I don't know if you saw the picture, but they actually took a picture, like that Wilt picture.
That's a little much, man. That's a little much.
Like, you know,
if you, like, broke Kobe's 81... then, all right, maybe you can do the
and also
the,
maybe win. I mean, that's the biggest
yeah,
thing.
Yeah,
that, you know?
That too.
But, you know, shout out to Devin Booker. He also praised Kobe Bryant, saying, like, "I got that Kobe mentality in me to
nice.
Just always want more." So tonight's show is brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider of audiobooks online. If you use the URL audibletrial.com/almighty and sign up for a free 30-day trial, you will also receive a free audiobook of your choice upon sign up. So do that now. Audible.com. It's like reading rainbow, but for your ears. Also, we are proud and excited to announce that the Almighty Baller Network is now part of Dash Radio, as Dash's first and only sports radio station. Dash Radio is a digital radio broadcasting platform with more than 60 original stations, as well as partner stations curated by some of the biggest names in music, such as Snoop Dogg and Lil Wayne. So the more we can associate our names with Snoop Dogg and Lil Wayne, the better our future lives will be, I think.
Snoop Dogg was there today at Shaq's ceremony.
Exactly.
D-O-double-G.
So Dash Radio is essentially almost like a Spotify or Sirius XM, but it has no subscription fees and no commercials. So starting this upcoming week and all weeks following, you can catch our newest Lakers Legacy podcast episode every Mondays on Dash at 4 p.m. Pacific time. Pretty cool. So, Alan, what do you think about our Dash Radio opportunity and actually maybe being on radio?
Honestly, dude, it's like pretty surreal.
Yeah.
It's just pretty crazy to me. I went to this kind of networking seminar event last night, and I was actually speaking to a guy who does a leadership and executive coaching podcast. And I told him, oh, you know, I've been like podcasting as well and this and that, and told him about this opportunity that just came up. And his face was like, oh, my God, wait, how long have you guys been doing this? I was like, over a year. Yeah. You know, he was like, that is insane, the fact that things have moved for you guys so quickly. So he, as he told me, keep it up, keep nerding out, and you know, good things are gonna come. So I guess it's true.
You know what the kids say?
What?
Dash me outside, how about that?
Oh god.
Also, please follow us on Twitter at Lakers Legacy Pod. Please also rate and review us on iTunes, because the more you rate and review us, that's how many Julius Randle pump fakes will eliminate from his pump fake bag of tricks every time he finds himself right below the basket. And let me tell you, we're going to need some more rating and reviews to really pare that down, because homie pump fakes at least 8 times anytime he's in amongst the trees down there. So please, rate and review us on iTunes. Speaking of rating and reviews, in celebration of Shaq and in honor of Shaq, we've actually got the big Aristotle here to read today's review.
Thank you, Jonathan. It's a pleasure to be here. You know, I had a big night tonight, so I'm feeling myself a little bit, so it's great to be here. Here's the review. Awesome podcast from Film Geek 2001, February 10, 2017. I discovered your podcast around 2 months ago and have become such a huge fan that I eagerly wait for your uploads after every game. You guys are funny, you have great chemistry, and your analysis are always interesting. Hey boy, you got to talk to my daughters who are gonna go to law school. That is improper grammar. Just saying, it's okay. I love you. Anyway, listening to your podcast feels like I'm at the bar talking Lakers with friends. I will continue to listen as long as you guys keep doing this. BTW. You youngins, why don't you just type the words? I think that's by the way. I just asked my kid. Those impressions, though. Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
All right. Thank you very much, Shaq. And congratulations once again on getting your statue up there at Staples Center.
Thank you. Much love. Peace.
Cool. So today we actually have a great episode. For those of you worried about the tanking Lakers and whether or not they can keep their pick, our episode is all about our late first round pick and not about our top three pick, because we might lose it, especially given that the Lakers beat the Minnesota Timberwolves on Friday. So we're only one game behind the Suns at the time of this recording. And if you're worried about our pick, don't worry, because we do have one surety, the Houston pick. Tonight's episode, we have Sean Darenthal from Ode to Odin podcast, also part of our Almighty Baller radio network. And he's a draft guru, and he was able to share his extensive draft insights with us and give us a full in-depth 2017 late first round, early second round draft primer, giving us an early introduction into who may be available in that range for our Houston pick and what names to look out for so that our draft prep studying stays on fleek, as the kids say. Half the time, you'll hear us bumbling around with prospects' names and also even questioning whether some of the names Sean throws out there are even real or made-up names that a drunk 8-year-old made up. That's all
drunk
part...
Drunk 8-year-old?
Drunk 8-year-old.
How embarrassing is that?
But that's all part of the fun, so take out your notepad and start jotting down some of these names in advance, even if you can't spell them. You likely won't be able to spell them. So with that said, catch us on the turn with Sean Darenthal from Ode to Odin Draft Podcast.
You know, we had our battles, we had our times, but we always had respect for each other, and we were able to win 3 championships. Definitely couldn't have done it without you. I appreciate you very much.
Okay, so today we have Sean Darenthal. Sean, did I say that correctly?
Yeah, nailed it.
Perfect. Sean Darenthal. And, you know, at this point, Sean Darenthal sounds like a late first round prospect that we could draft. I mean, that's how much we know, or how little we know. We've got Sean Darenthal from Ode to Odin Basketball Podcast. Sean, I don't want to butcher any of your intro, so if you want to let us know a little bit of what you do and what you talk about on that podcast, and I guess how you got started. Sean is actually on the Almighty Baller Radio Network along with us, so we consider him podcast brother, so to say. So Sean, take it away.
Yeah, thanks. Well, just first off, like, I think you guys are pretty awesome. I'm definitely happy to be doing this.
Thanks.
Yeah, no problem. I started getting really, really into the draft about a couple years ago. I've always been really into, like, the high school guys, you know, really interested in the guys coming up and getting more, like, detailed information besides just, like, mixtapes, you know, like, just scouring YouTube for, like, Zion Williams dunks and stuff, you know? Uh-huh. So I wanted to have, like, a certain kind of content that was a little more informative about those guys coming up and then also about just the draft in general. So we talk about everything that has to do with the NBA draft, but usually how it goes is I'll bring on a guest, somebody who writes, you know, for, I don't know, something online like The Step Back or Draft Express or something like that. And we'll go into, like, extreme depth on, like, four or five prospects and then also talk a little bit about draft philosophy or blah, 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 you know, that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I think it's supposed to be, like, smart content. I don't know if it is, you know, like, we can let the listener decide, but that's what at least what our goal is. So, yeah, it's fun. I like that kind of stuff. I am an NBA guy. I'm not, like, a college basketball nut or anything, which is funny because now, like, pretty much all my time is spent just watching college basketball, you know, like, sure. I don't have that much time to work for the NBA, but yeah, it's exciting. I love it.
Nice. Do you want to throw out your Twitter handle and where people can find you?
Yeah, at Ode to Odin. Pretty simple on Twitter. And then if you want to, like, email me or anything, I suppose you can at Ode to Odin podcast at gmail.com. And then I have a little website where I post a little bit of, like, draft material that I think is really good for people who are looking for draft content that's a little bit smarter, stuff that I read that I like. I post there. And then obviously the podcast you can always find there too, just odetoodin.com. So pretty simple.
Perfect. And what made you come up with that name, Ode to Odin? What's the behind the scenes on that? How'd you come to that name?
Well, when I was starting the podcast, like, every good podcaster will give you the advice that you're supposed to have a name that has something to do with your subject matter. You know, that's, like, really obvious. They see it in iTunes and they can click it and they know what it's already supposed to be about. And I said, screw that advice. I wanted something that was kind of, like, cooler than that. A bunch of podcasts that I love have just random names that have something cool behind it, right? And it starts this little subculture. If you understand it, then you're in the know or whatever. Sure. I thought that would be kind of cool. I don't know. So I'm a big Ohio State Buckeye fan. And obviously Greg Oden is one of the most infamous draft picks ever, right?
Yes.
So this is, like, my little ode to him, right? I dedicate my podcast to him. Yeah, hopefully a little bit of good karma can go his way because heavens knows he needs some, right?
I like that angle. Obviously, there's rights to Ricky Sanchez podcasts like that. If we could go a little more underground and undercover as a Lakers podcast, I think, Alan, you and I are in agreement that we would probably call this Marcus Banks Was Almost a Laker podcast. So.
Exactly.
But the alliteration is great, so you got something going for you, for sure.
So you just said you're an Ohio State Buckeyes fan, and I don't want to detract too much from what we're going to talk about, which is the late first round, but obviously our most talented prospect at the moment, D'Angelo Russell, came from Ohio State. So just quickly, what are your thoughts on D'Angelo Russell, I guess, when he was coming out of the draft, when he was in Ohio State, and what do you think about what he's doing right now in the NBA?
Obviously, like, I'm crazy biased about this. But there is something just kind of – actually, you guys mentioned this a little bit on your last podcast that Ed Isaacson mentioned this point. I don't always see eye to eye with Ed.
Sure.
I think he's a little bit of a bag of hot air, let's say. He's got a little bit of hot takery in him, I think.
Yeah.
But he nailed it as far as D'Angelo not always being the best point guard, having amazing passing skills and, like – a really great set shot, but as far as the creator out of a high pick and roll, which is the offensive set for the NBA, he didn't always show tons of aptitude for that in college. So he's an NBA player. He's going to be a good NBA player. I think he's going to be a good NBA starter. He's not, like, a first, second best player on a really good team, though. You know, I don't think he was ever going to be that, which is fine. You know, you need guys that fill certain roles, and he fills a role really well. I mean, he just got to put a little bit of caring into the defensive end, right? Like, please, like, just a little bit. And I think that, yeah, I don't think we need to worry, I guess, is my point.
Gotcha. Cool. Quickly, do you follow an NBA team in particular, or?
Yeah, I'm a big Thunder fan. I know it's, like, super random, but You know, when you're like a little kid and you're reading Sports Illustrated and a player has your name, Sean Kemp, then all of a sudden, if you live in Cincinnati, right, then you don't have a team to root for. So I loved Gary Payton and Sean Kemp. And when the franchise moved, obviously I was loyal to the franchise, not the city. And so I just kind of, you know, adopted the Thunder as my team.
Very cool. All right. So let's get right into it before we actually get into the late first round and maybe the early second round, because depending on whether we keep our top three pick this year, we either could have a top three pick and Houston's pick, which is right now going to be number 28, or we could get number 28 and keep our second rounder this year, which would be number 32. It all depends on whether we keep our Philly pick, I guess. Right. So before we get to that, though, I just wanted to quickly pick your brain on the top of this draft, because obviously we're all about Markelle Fultz, Lonzo Ball, Josh Jackson, and I guess we could just get your quick thoughts on who you think is the best prospect. And obviously, I think if the Lakers get number one, we're going Fultz all the way, Fultz steam ahead. But if we do get number two or number three, it's really, right now, at least in our opinion, it's going to come down to either Lonzo Ball or Josh Jackson. I don't know if you have any differing opinions on that, but I guess who excites you the most, and would you also take Fultz number one?
Yeah, unfortunately, guys, like, this is kind of uninteresting. I think you're right. Fultz number one, clear cut, in a tier by himself, can do so many things really, really well. Nothing great, like nothing. I think he doesn't have an attribute that stands out as well as Josh Jackson's like rim protection from the wing, which is spectacular. He doesn't have Lonzo Ball's like intelligence, which is just super, super strong. But he's good at almost everything, good to great at almost everything. And a lot of people will kind of hammer his defense. I say don't buy into that. And over the summer in the FIBA USA games, the Under America team, he was amazing defender. On ball, he's fine. Off ball, instinctually, I think he's great. So, yeah, Fultz in the tier all by himself. Then in the second tier, I think it gets a little more interesting. I think the pick probably for you guys is Josh Jackson or Lonzo Ball. I think you know that I'm not going out on a limb here, obviously, with that kind of stuff. But I do think that Jonathan Isaac is in that same tier, and that if you're a different team than the Lakers, I think you start to consider Jonathan Isaac there. But like say Philly might, or I don't know. I think you guys, Orlando, maybe Sacramento, there are maybe a couple other teams, Phoenix, I guess, kind of just, they should just go best player available, because they don't have any one player that stands out that you kind of have to fight for minutes for it at that same position. Like, you don't have to worry about fit at all, just because, you know, your asset base isn't super deep yet. So yeah, definitely Josh or Lonzo. I think probably I would lean Josh Jackson, because if only for this reason, Lonzo Ball's range of outcomes is really, really broad. He's such a different kind of prospect that you don't know whether his offensive style is going to translate to the NBA. Like, if anyone tells you that they know that's going to work, like, I think you have to kind of maybe like put them on the backboard and take their opinion like a little bit less, just because he's so different, right? He's more difficult to project. Josh Jackson, I think, is a lock to be a pretty great player, but Ball could be great. He could be like the best player in the draft, bar none, or he could like not be that great because he has athleticism issues. And, you know, his shot could be too low of a release to work, too long to work. You know, breaking down guys off the dribble, the high pick and roll isn't really his bread and butter. He might just be like a good off-ball player. Like, the range of outcomes is really, it's really wide. So if you want to swing for the fences, you pick Ball there. If you're a little more risk averse, then Jackson's probably the way to go.
Gotcha. Alan, did you have any questions at the top of the draft for the Lakers?
No, I mean, I can definitely see that. I'm a big UCLA fan, so I've seen almost every UCLA game this season, and I've often wondered the same thing. Like, how are Lonzo Ball's skill sets going to translate to the NBA? I mean, it's just a completely different level of speed and athleticism. And sure, right now in college, he's blowing by guys and completely playing over their heads. But obviously, you know, if he ends up on the Lakers and he's kind of running the ship, I could definitely see where there might be some issues where he hits that wall. And with Josh Jackson, like you said, you can like tangibly see his skill set at that next level. So I agree with you there. There's a bit of a hesitancy, I guess, on really pulling that trigger with Ball right away.
I guess my last question about the top of this draft is positionally, because we do have D'Angelo Russell as either the point guard or shooting guard. Do you see either Lonzo Ball or Josh Jackson being a better fit?
And because you did see D'Angelo at Ohio State, and I think he was playing next to Shannon Scott, do you see that dynamic working out, knowing that with Lonzo Ball, he'd have a competent ball handler and also someone who could cut and just, like, you know, jump for lobs in certain scenarios as well? And then with regards to Josh Jackson, do you see him eventually just becoming a power forward, or do you see his position just being small forward? And in the Lakers scenario, because we do have Brandon Ingram, could he potentially play the shooting guard spot and become like a big shooting guard?
That's interesting. I haven't heard anybody talk about Josh Jackson at the two. I think that's probably out of the question. It's definitely interesting. Obviously, if you have Jackson and Ingram as your three and four, then you're really versatile on defense, right? Like, that position is kind of melding into one, right? It's the wing position in the NBA anyway.
Yeah.
And definitely late in the shot clock, I'm not worried about Josh Jackson switching maybe one through four. Like, if he's on your point guard with 5 seconds on the shot clock, I'm totally fine with that too. So, yeah, that's interesting. I think that he's probably a three, ideally.
Mm-hmm.
But as the league trends that way, and as he gets older and bulks up a little bit more, I don't think playing at the four is going to be a problem. And I think actually that it might be better offensively for him to be playing the four. I guess defensively playing the four, however you want to do the positions. Defensively guarding fours, because then on the offensive end, it might take away from the fact that, you know, finding good stretch fours that can also play defense is difficult. So as far as just like roster construction flexibility, it's going to make more sense to put him at the four and let him, you know, be like a secondary creator and be surrounded by shooters rather than having like a classic four in there who, you know, maybe might not be shooting that well unless you can kind of just stick him in the corner. But as far as like the fit you were talking about with Lonzo Ball, I think the fit for both of them is great, especially Ball, I think works really well, because then him and D'Angelo can just be the kind of, you know, de facto kind of, and I mean, no one's a de facto point guard. It's just kind of like a package deal. Lonzo works really well off the ball. Obviously, we talked about D'Angelo works really, really well off the ball. I think that's probably where he's best suited. But the problem that you run into there is then who's defending ones? I don't think Ball's going to be very good at defending ones. I think ideally you're going to have to hide him on the worst offensive player 1 through 3. And that's kind of the problem with D'Angelo Russell too. So I guess maybe Josh Jackson is the better fit technically, even though he overlaps a little bit more with Ingram just because he gives you more more versatility on defense. But I think probably you don't have a good enough player on the roster yet to even worry about that.
Sure.
I think you just take the player who you think is probably going to be the best, and because of that kind of dearth like we were talking about, I think the Lakers should just swing for upside with Ball. So,
Cool. All right. So with that said, obviously we have a ton of time to talk about this because the Lakers season is ending in about 3 weeks. So it'll be all about Lonzo Ball, Markelle Fultz, Josh Jackson, and just waiting on pins and needles to see if we keep that pick. So with that said, the one surety is that the Lakers do have their first round pick. By way of Lou Will trade, we do have Houston's first, which is right now going to be the number 28th pick. And also, again, if we don't keep our top three pick, potentially also the number 32. So with that said, I thought it would be a good idea for Lakers fans to start getting a introductory course on which prospects are available from 25 through 38, pretty much in that range in this draft. Obviously, I don't think we've seen the official announcements on who is eligible to come out, who are the official declarants, but right now I think we have a good idea, or at least you do, of some of the prospects that we can take a look at now and keep an eye out for as the season ends. So before we get to that, though, I wanted to ask Alan. Alan, based off of the Lakers roster, I guess, what kinds of players are you looking for in that range at this point? And, you know, to speak to Sean, I guess, what skills do you think would best fit the Lakers right now? And what sort of players are you looking for the Lakers in that range?
I would really like a versatile defender because God knows at this point we really don't have that on our team. I think Brandon Ingram is one of our better defenders and he can guard 1 through 3. And as he gets older and gets stronger, maybe he could get that 4 if it's a stretch, but a 3-and-D wing would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I also think a backup point guard would be nice, who is just a decent defender, a guy who can come in the game at the end of the first quarter and just be a stopgap while our starters rest and make sure that the lead or deficit that we're in doesn't, you know, expand or shrink too much. Just a guy who you could really put in place and rely on defensively. As far as the offense goes, I would say anything that could come along with it would be just like, you know, the gravy or the cherry on top. A third priority, I suppose, could be backup center, because right now it looks like Ivica Zubac is our starting center of the future. And, you know, if Mozgov is still a part of this team in the future, and, you know, we're not looking to play him at backup too much. So then you have Tarik Black, who's probably 6'7" at best. I think a backup center would also be great. And again, someone who can play defense extremely well.
Yeah, I agree on all those points. For me, I think the skills that I'm looking for the most would be just literally a 3-and-D guy, someone who can shoot and play defense. Right now, we have David Nwaba, who we've called up from the D-League, who's been a defensive revelation, but unfortunately, he can't shoot, and he doesn't have an offensive game. So anybody in that range who could also shoot the three-point shot and projects to be a pretty decent defender would be amazing. And like Alan said, with regards to another big, I don't think athleticism would hurt at all if we could get just another raw prospect who can run the floor, block shots, and dunk, and play pick and roll well, like a poor man's Tyson Chandler or something like that. So with all that said, obviously we're going to preface everything by saying, Sean, you know way more than we do. Alan and I, if you threw out some random names, and actually we can make a game out of this. You can just randomly throw out a name and Alan and I can guess whether or not you just made that up, because there are some names in this range that sound like made up names. For example, Jaron Blossom Game and Caleb Swanigan sounds like names that I just came up with. So if you want to throw in some additional ones, we can play that game. But yeah, with that said, and us prefacing the types of skills we're looking for, I guess with the 28th pick, what are some of the prospects that you would name out first for us?
Well, just like to kind of preface this a little bit, like you said at the beginning, we don't know which underclassmen are going to commit. And that really, really changes the bottom of this draft. Mm-hmm. I think there are guys sprinkled up and down the first round that I think are really, really good, and I would love to have them declare, but it looks like they're probably not going to. So that like significantly changes the quality of the end, right? Like if you take out, if you have to push everyone up five slots, well, then you're getting like five or six, seven slots, you're getting a significantly worse player. So some of these guys that I'm going to throw out may not declare, but I think are definitely interesting to watch. And then second of all, just as far as like realistic expectations, I know you guys are smart and I'm sure like your audience is super smart, but like the realistic expectation of finding a guy at the end of the first round, beginning of the second round, who becomes a backup for you is actually a little bit less than like a coin toss, right? Like historically speaking. So probably these guys won't play in the league for very long. A lot of them won't make it past their first contract. And then some of them will stick, right? There are going to be some guys that stick. And rarely, if ever, are you going to find a starter. So just with that and with those expectations, there are a few guys that I like a lot more than consensus. And maybe I can just throw some of these names at you. Maybe you've heard of him. One guy who probably is getting a little more ground recently, who probably won't fall to that 28th pick, is Donovan Mitchell from Louisville. He's a potential 3-and-D prospect. Obviously, that's like one of the most coveted things in the NBA right now, you know, besides like a championship level, like first option on your team, right?
Yeah.
So those guys are really difficult. At the end of the first round, everybody that you draft is going to have a flaw, and to find like a really good 3-and-D prospect is pretty difficult. Usually they can play defense or they can shoot. So usually you just pick the guy that can play defense and you try to teach him to shoot. But this Donovan Mitchell guy out of Louisville, I'm not sure if you guys have heard of him, but he's a little bit shorter. He's kind of like a classic two. But what I like about him, and what I'm kind of learning by diving into this more and more, is that a lot of the great perimeter defenders, both in college and I think at the NBA, they're not necessarily the lightning quick guys that you'd kind of expect, like the super, super athletic guys that you'd expect to be, you know, that have all these great potential defensive tools in their toolbox, but rather guys that are strong and have, you know, whatever it is, this innate skill to kind of anticipate on the perimeter. And Donovan Mitchell, I think, has both of these things in spades. His handle's really good. He can operate in pick and rolls well. He's going to be a secondary creator attacking closeouts, like on the weak side, you know, after D'Angelo or Lonzo creates something a little bit for you, you know, then you swing it to Donovan and he can attack kind of a mismatch or a rotating defense, something like that on the weak side. His, I don't know if I said this already, but his three-point shot is coming around. It's a little bit streaky, but it's definitely there. I believe in it personally. I think if he's somebody that falls there, like you thank your lucky stars, I don't think he will. But a few other names. One guy that I like a lot, and I think that there are going to be some bigs at the end of the round, at the end of the first round, where you're going to see a lot of value because there just aren't a lot of fives in this draft. There aren't a lot of competent kind of longer fours in this draft either. There's somebody, and you're going to have to forgive me for this name, Anjis Pasechniks. I've been practicing that a lot, actually.
Did you make that guy up? I feel like you made that guy up, to be honest with you.
No, so he is he's somebody who has gotten a little bit of pub at the beginning of the year and then dropped off a little bit. He's been playing in the ACB League, which is probably the second best league in the world, not counting the EuroLeague in Spain. And he's like a 7'2" prospect, really fluid athlete. And, you know, fluidity with that length, you don't necessarily have to be able to jump out of the gym like a DeAndre Jordan type. And, you still bother a lot of shots at the rim. He's young. He has broad shoulders. You know, you think of him developing that strength that kind of like a Rudy Gobert has, and you pair that with the mobility. I like him a lot. I personally have him in like the 11 to 15 range. But,
oh, wow.
Most people kind of have him at the end of the first. So I actually like him as a prospect much more than Zubac. I wasn't that high on Zubac before. I think he's probably surpassed my expectations. But I think that he's probably on a good team, a backup five. I think swinging for the fence on a five that you can definitely stash overseas is something probably that makes a lot of sense for you guys as you're like, you know, still in, I don't know, flash the progress mode, as you guys like to say, right? Like, you might have some high draft picks for the next few years. So I think he's someone to look at.
Can we stay right there, actually? Because you made a good point, because if we do end up losing our pick and then we do keep 28 and 32, I was going to ask you, are there any international prospects that we could potentially stash for a little bit? And on Zedzic Pasechniks... he's 21 right now, but I guess I wanted to stay on here just because you mentioned that you like him better as a prospect than Zubac. And despite the fact that he's 2 years older than Zubac, I guess what qualities do you like that project him out to be better, I guess? Is it mostly the athleticism? Because normally we think about Euro guys, and Zubac is usually the prototypical stereotype we think of in terms of skilled big who can shoot a jump shot and has post skills. But it sounds like this Pasechniks guy is at least pretty long and athletic. Is that correct?
Yeah. So just the main defense comes on the main difference comes on the defensive potential. Mm. I think that in today's NBA, like, bigs that aren't really going to be able to anchor your defense are almost kind of unplayable at like the upper echelons of the league. Like in the playoffs, those guys just get run off the floor. And I think that's a problem. Obviously Zubac, he's not a complete negative. Like, he's really strong and he's smart about rebounds. Like, I love his shot preparation for rebounds. Like, he does a lot of little things really well, but I think that his defensive ceiling is just pretty low, honestly. So Pasechniks is fluid. I think that he's going to be able to like corral driving guards, you know, just has that kind of athleticism that you're looking for in the kind of modern system where you have one big and then surround him with shooters. And that one big doesn't necessarily have to be the most offensive skilled guy, because diving to the rim off high pick and rolls, that's like one of the most valuable,
sure,
like lob plays in the NBA, right? Are super, super efficient. So I think that he's going to be a valuable offensive player, not the kind of classic create in the post guy. You know, he's not that guy, but he sets good screens and diving. You have to bring a help defender on the weak side, you know, to open up the backside three and blah blah blah, all that stuff that we talk about a lot. So I think that I think that potentially he's a better option than Zubac.
So it sounds like he can guard the pick and roll, or you see him potentially being able to guard the pick and roll and blow those coverages up, correct?
Yeah, like, I don't think he's going to be on the perimeter too much, but as far as just like the system where you don't trap all of your high pick and rolls, you just funnel everyone to the middle. I think that type of defensive scheme is ideal for him, and that's a really popular one in the NBA right now.
Cool. Yeah, and this guy is 7'2". Alan, try saying his name. Pasechnitz.
Wait, let me hear it said the right way by
okay,
Sean.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, Sean.
Okay, this is my guess. Well, a little bit more than a guess, but, you know. Andrzej Pasechnitz.
Andrzej Pasechnitz.
Yeah, just keep practicing, you'll get there.
I feel like I'm inebriated as I'm saying that. Andrzej Pasechnitz.
Flash the Pasechnitzes. All right, so any other guys we should look out for?
I'm going to throw out, like, a few names and just, like, do quick hitters really fast, if that's all right. So a few other guys that I'm much higher on that I think might fall to you guys in the late first, maybe, if a few of these underclassmen stay in. OG Anunoby, probably heard that name before.
Yeah.
Really super, looks like a demigod running around out there, mm-hmm. like some kind of Greek god. He's a four, ideally, and he has a little bit of a three-point shot. I don't believe too much in it, but he can legitimately switch 1 through 4. He can be kind of a guy that you can make a defensive scheme around, someone that you could pair with a Zubac who still has enough perimeter skills to where he's not completely clogging your offense. Someone that I like a lot. And if he hits offensively, then you strike like a gold mine there. Juwan Evans, a pretty small guard out of Oklahoma State, a point guard. Someone who kind of reminds you aesthetically. I kind of hate doing the comparison game, but just aesthetically, so you can kind of see how he plays. A lot like Chris Paul, where really, really good in the high pick and roll. Kind of the hesitation, start and stop quickness is there. Gets all the way to the rim very easily. The mid range pull up game, he's actually really efficient at, which, you know, is kind of a rare quality. Somebody who's really interesting, I think, could be a really good backup point guard, and, you know, finding a good backup point guard at the end of the first round is a super valuable thing. Somebody else that's really interesting is Tyler Lydon, and like Lonzo Ball, I think he has a super wide range of outcomes. He's like your classic white boy stretch four. He's out of Syracuse. He's definitely declared for the draft, so he's in this thing, and he has one of the quickest, smoothest jump shots that you'll see in the draft, probably, like, absolutely textbook, like, you know, in high school, it's like the video that your coaches show you on, like, how to shoot a basketball that was made in the 1970s, you know, like that kind of guy.
Yeah.
But super, super quick release, and has NBA range already. But like the super valuable guys, these quote unquote unicorns that we talk about, are guys that can stretch the floor, but also have high block numbers. Now, Lydon, he doesn't strike you as like an amazing athlete, but he has some statistical indicators, like his steal rate's okay, but his block rate is much higher than you'd think. Playing in that Syracuse 2-3s, like, famous zone that they run, it masks a lot of things, so you don't always want to take – you want to take Syracuse defensive stats with a grain of salt, but block numbers is kind of interesting. He's somebody who's really, really intriguing for me. A lot of people are really low on him. I think that he's worth it at the end of the first, beginning of the second, just because of the upside there.
Would you consider him to be like a shot blocking Ryan Anderson, something like that? Because he's 6'10", I see.
Right. Yeah. He's a potential shot blocking Ryan Anderson. Like, but he's probably like a worse shooter than Ryan Anderson. Right. Ryan Anderson is an amazing shooter. Right. So like the odds that he actually fulfills this thing that I'm talking about are pretty low. But I think as far as just percentages go, he's as good a bet as any, you know, in this range where players usually don't pan out anyway. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Another name that I'm about to make up for you guys, Sviatoslav Mikhailuk.
Yeah, you made that up.
he's Ukrainian, super interesting guy. You may have heard of him. He plays with Josh Jackson at Kansas. He's like the only white starter, I'm pretty sure. He actually went to Kansas freshman year as a 16-year-old from Ukraine. And so right now, I think he's still only 19 or something like that. And he has a little bit of athleticism. He's like your classic 2-3, probably closer to a 2 than a 3, that can just shoot really well. His form is like some of the most beautiful form that you'll see. And I like him as somebody else that you kind of just roll the dice on, a potential 3-and-D guy, a little bit less on the D, but definitely high upside on the 3. And I think that he's more athletic than people give him credit for. And I think that he's also pretty smart. Like I think that he will be able to play a good team defense to make up for a little bit of that athleticism. And then another European prospect that I think would be a good draft and stash guy that you pick in the second round. His name is Kostya Mushidi. I don't know where he's from origin wise, but I think he's grown up in Germany and he plays for a team called Mega Lex. That's like the Kentucky of European basketball. They get a bunch of young stars who are just trying to showcase themselves for the NBA. He's like a long, super long wing creator, like a 6'6", maybe like a 6'5" kind of guy. He's been heralded as probably like a first round pick for a long time, and recently kind of just hasn't lived up to that billing. The athleticism is still there. The length is there. He just hasn't been hitting a consistent outside shot. And it seems like a little bit of like the defensive IQ may not be there. I think it's more of a motor issue. I think he's definitely a good pick mid second round, definitely late first round. Like a lot of guys are going to be trying to buy picks to pick him, to stash him overseas for a little bit. There are several other guys. Maybe I'll just say one more 3-and-D potential prospect if he commits. He's an older, I think maybe he's a redshirt freshman, maybe he's a sophomore. He's a little bit older for his class, but Bruce Brown out of Miami, Florida. I don't know if you guys have heard of him.
I've heard of him, yeah.
Yeah, he's come on a pretty recent, kind of out of nowhere this year, kind of in the middle of the season, he was starting to get a lot of buzz. He's like a primary creator type, about a 6'5", has a longer wingspan, super athletic. Like he's just one of those guys in high school that probably excelled at every sport, never tried a day in his life. That kind of guy, just like a natural.
Yeah.
He lacks a little bit of the feel. He had to play the role for Miami to be a primary creator. So a lot of isolation situations, breaking guys down off the dribble. His shot is kind of questionable, although for stretches, it's looked really good, shot really high percentages, but I'm not sure how much I believe in it. But as far as the defensive end, he has like all the tools you could want. So if you think you can teach him basketball, I think that he's a really interesting pick at the end of the first with that 28th pick.
No, I really like Bruce Brown because obviously if you take one look at his highlights and he just jumps out of the page, literally jumps out of the page, right? He has like Russell Westbrook-like athleticism, but obviously the biggest thing for him is his defensive upside and potential. And so that's exactly the kind of guard we would want, someone who is defensive-minded, but also he's not incompetent on offense, right? He can actually like run a pick and roll and playmake a little bit, right? So I really like that potential out of him. And just honestly, the athletic upside is what really draws me. But again, the potential on the defensive end and also the fact that he could probably handle the ball as well in a pinch and be that stopgap is great for Bruce Brown. So, yeah. Alan, did you have any questions on particular prospects? Any that Sean didn't throw out that you might have questions on?
Yeah, and not to show my UCLA bias too much here, but I was actually going to ask you about Ike Anibogu. Jonathan, do you think that's a real name or a fake name? Ike Anibogu.
I'll say real.
There you go. It is real indeed. and again, not to like do the comparison thing too much physically, but his body reminds me of like Serge Ibaka. This guy is only a freshman right now at UCLA, and he comes off the bench. And we don't know if he's going to declare for the draft or not, but physically he looks like he's ready. Now he's very raw offensively, but he's a great rim protector. He rolls hard to the rim on pick and rolls, and he catches a ton of alley-oops from pretty much anyone who handles the ball on UCLA. So yeah, I was just wondering what your thoughts were on Anibogu as a potential prospect at this point.
Yeah, he's an interesting one. If only because at the beginning of the season, he wasn't getting a lot of minutes, right? And then kind of recently, he's come on more and more as teams have really challenged him inside. TJ Leaf, as much as you love his offensive skill, is kind of like a little bit of a sieve.
Totally.
I'm totally blanking. Who is your tall white center starter? Like
oh, Welsh.
Automatic. Welsh,
yep,
yeah.
Welsh.
Like awesome offensive player, like adequate defensive player at the college level. Anibogu, obviously, like, sky's the limit for him, right? He's really interesting. I'll be honest, I don't have a great read on him offensively. Catching lobs, I question his hand and his feel a little bit. His screens are, frankly, just trash. Like, he's big, so he's getting he's getting right. away with a lot of little things that are really bad. But I've pretty much heard from like anybody that I trust that he's not going to declare. But if he does, well, then a lot of teams I think are going to be forced to pick him.
Yeah.
In the middle of the first, honestly, mm-hmm. just because of all the upside that he has. Yeah, I think like a slower Ibaka is not a horrible comparison. Somebody that can, you know, play the five for your team for, you know, the next 10 years or whatever. He's interesting. I don't know too much. Like, I haven't done like any deep dives on him, but interesting for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think he should stay another year to develop, especially because Leaf's going to be out of the way and Welsh is going to be gone too. So it's going to give him more opportunities just to develop his game, and he'll get picked higher if he were to stay another year.
What about Devontae Bacon? Alan, is that a real or fake guy?
That's so real, dude. Anything with Bacon is good, so...
No, it's actually fake. I put Devontae Graham from Kansas and Dwayne Bacon from Florida State together to make Devontae Bacon. Okay, first of all, what happened to Harry Giles? He's this year's Cliff Robinson and Scalabissieri, right? Where we always hear about these super touted high school prospects that at the beginning of the year, they're like top five picks, and then they just slip. I think Harry Giles has been injured or something, but even when he's gotten few minutes, I guess he just hasn't panned out. I guess what's the deal with Harry Giles, and if he slipped to the Lakers range, is he enough of an upside pick to just be like, hey, why not? He's athletic, he's got a 7'3 wingspan, he's still long.
Yeah, he's really interesting. Giles is somebody that I learned a big lesson on, because as I watched like the kind of the good film that you can get from high school games, a lot of it's just trash, right? These guys are so much better than everybody else. It's really hard to tell like what's going on, and they don't care about playing defense in AAU games or whatever. But the stuff that was good that I did watch, I wasn't very high on him. Athletically, he's got like everything. He's got length. He had the bounce, despite, you know, tearing an ACL in both of his knees. I think one of them twice, which was the most recent injury. But offensively, he never showed like any skill whatsoever. So if he's going to be in the NBA, then you think, okay, you know, maybe he develops a little bit of that. But like, honestly, most guys, if you don't see skill at all, like kind of what I'm learning more and more is that it just doesn't develop. You have to see something, and usually you come into the league with something, and what you have gets better. Like, rarely do guys actually add new skills, right? So Giles was a super high motor, long guy that people thought maybe could play the four. I mean, in my mind, he was always a five. Offensively, in the post, he was always just been atrocious, but had a really high usage, was kind of like a black hole. Passing was never really a thing for him. He was just this amazing explosive athlete that everyone fell in love with, and a lot of guys that I trusted had him number one overall by a mile. And so I kind of just said, okay, fine, I'll put him in my like preseason tier number one, blah blah blah, with Fultz and with Tatum. But I think that what you're seeing at Duke, a lot of people are completely dismissing it because he's coming back from the injury and it's all mental. You see that he's really hesitant. Well, what I think is like that the game is a little bit too fast for him, and I think that it would have been too fast for him even without this injury. I think that you saw a lot of that stuff at the lower levels. I don't know. Like, I have him in my tier 8. I know that means nothing to you guys, but like that's pick like 37 to 44. And this is like, that sounds really precise. I understand in the second round, like there's no precision whatsoever, right? But I think that probably like, he's an end of the second guy that you pick and just maybe just bank that, you know, there's a lot there and that it's really all being hidden by these injuries and stuff. But yeah, I think that he's a lesson to be learned for sure.
Gotcha. How the mighty have fallen. Alan, any other guys that you have questions on?
No, I'm good.
Cool. What about Matthias Lesort? Alan, is that a real name? The last Lesort?
It's real.
Ah, good job. Thanks. All right. I do have one question on another prospect. Okay, this one, it could be made up, but I can't pronounce
it. No, it's real, man. I did my homework on him today.
Okay. Semi Ojale or Ojalai. Ojalai. I'm pretty sure it's Ojale. 6'7 from SMU. This guy has a really interesting build. I don't even know what to describe it as. He's like Corey Maggette buff. Yeah. But he's also a little chunky. I have no idea what position this guy would play. Is he a small forward? He's too big to play small forward, I feel like. But I guess, can you talk on him a little bit?
Yeah, he's definitely a four. the people that have him high, I think what they're banking on is that his vertical athleticism translates to just being overall athletic. So you put him at the four and he's a little bit switchy, you know, maybe like 3 through 5, because he's so strong, he can kind of push backup fives out of the paint and that he'll hold his own on second units that way. And that his shot is like so smooth and he shows a lot of coordination for that huge body that he has that you think, okay, we're going to add a lot of skill to this guy. Already his three-point shot looks smooth enough to you think you're pretty confident that, that it's going to translate, you know, that you can add 3 feet to his shot already and that'll be fine. I am a little bit lower than most people. I think that he's a kind of like a beginning of the second round kind of pick, like around like 35 or so, which is fine, right? Like the upside is still there. I just don't know that he's as athletic as everyone's hoping that he is. In college, these fours that are kind of athletic look super athletic, right? Like playing other fours, because most other teams don't have small bigs that play the four that are really actually threes, right? That make everyone look bad. Like, for example, at Duke, you can go back through like the last 4 years and everyone there is like a three in the NBA, kind of a four, but like played the four at Duke and looked just like an athletic beast, right? So I think Ojale probably by comparison is looking a little more athletic than he actually is, but offensively he's fine. But I think the reason you pick him is because he's both the three and the D from the four position. I don't know if that's real or fake. I kind of lean toward fake, but he's definitely interesting.
Gotcha. Cool. Okay, so to end this show, I just wanted a quick rapid fire, just ask you some questions and you can throw out a name for it. So for example, in this range, who would you consider the best shooter if you could pick him at 28?
Okay.
Just shooter in general, best shooter.
Best shooter. Okay, I'm going to throw another name out there. Mm-hmm. This guy's never going to get picked, but I love this guy, and so I've got to just hype him when I can. His name is Borisa Simanic, and he's a Serbian, somebody that coming up through the ranks like grew way earlier than everybody else and so had a lot of eyes on him. He's like a 6'11 guy. Right now he's playing for a big kind of name brand Russian team, and he's not getting a ton of minutes. But I still think that he has a ton of potential. He has kind of a complete perimeter game. He's way more athletic than you think. He's pretty quick. Like pulling up off the dribble at 6'11". I know I hate comparison. I hate to do this, but just we're on a podcast, right? Like I can't show you a mixtape. So just aesthetically, what he might look like. Honestly, like a Kevin Durant, just length, pulling up after like a crossover on the perimeter. That's him. I mean, he's not as fluid, not as athletic as Durant. Obviously, doesn't have all the skill, blah, blah, blah. The knock on him is like this. He has a really weird motor. People say that he's like this super, super shy kid. He can't get any minutes on this team, and people think that he probably should be starting to get minutes. He's already 19. He's young. I think in the NBA, if you put him in a role and say, okay, you're going to guard threes and fours because he's like rail thin, but he's really quick and he can reach. So even if he gets beat like a half step past you, his reach is such that he's still bothering your shot at the rim. And then obviously contesting you on closeouts, that length we know is super important for defensive players. I think he could be the steal of the draft. And I know everyone's going to call me crazy, but like I'm going to die on this hill, the Simanic hill, because I don't know that there's any big man prospect in this draft. I'm trying to think so that like I don't make a stupid mistake. I'm trying to think of anybody in this draft or in the draft before or in the draft coming up that has a smooth outside shot with as much range as he does at like 6'10 and above. I think he could be really, really special. So I think he's worth drafting, you know, kind of in the late first, definitely in the second.
Cool. What's his name again?
Borisa Simanic.
Cool. Okay, so who is going to be the underrated dude because of his age? Like the next Malcolm Brogdon, Larry Nance, because they're a little bit older, they slip, but they're essentially going to be the prototypical role player who may not have that much upside, but could very well fill out as a solid and steady NBA rotation player, in your opinion, in this draft.
Well, like, I'll just say I have no idea. But just to throw a name out there, one that's a little bit trendy right now, especially because he's starting to come on late. Well, actually, you know what? That's not true. He's not starting to come on late. He's starting to get some pub because South Carolina is never shown on national television. Like, nobody cares about SEC basketball unless it's Kentucky, right? Sindarius Thornwell, he's an older player. I think he's like already 23, super high-level prospect coming out of high school, super highly recruited guy, has always been super inefficient, but he's like your prototypical four. Like, he has the body of a four, maybe a little bit shorter than a four, but as far as just IQ, passing, strength, motor, everything like that, he excels in all the ways that you want a good role player to excel. And I think that there is potential to develop his shot. We're seeing it kind of develop. Now, that's like a statistical no-no. Like, all of my nerd friends are going to say, Sean, stop saying that. Once you're 23, like, your three-point percentage most likely is your three-point percentage, right? But I think that there's room to develop here. I think that he's going to be somebody that is like your quote-unquote classic glue guy. I know that's like really stereotypical, but Sindarius Thornwell. And he has like a great name, right? So,
right, exactly.
We're all rooting for this guy for sure.
Cool. Okay, so who's going to be the next or best 3-and-D guard, like in the likes of Courtney Lee, Iman Shumpert, Danny Green in this range?
Somebody that I think is interesting, that I technically have a little bit lower, but I think he's worth kind of bringing up in this mold. Also with another great name. His name is Shake Milton.
Oh, nice.
I haven't, but sounds great.
He's a sophomore. He plays with Ojale, who we talked about before on SMU. SMU has a really interesting lineup. They have like a bunch of like 6'5 through 6'9 guys that all switch, and they're all just like athletic guys. He plays point guard. He's not like the kind of point guard that you think about, like the Juwan Evans type, like I talked about before. Chris Paul, you know, dominate the ball, throwing lobs, high pick and roll kind of guy. His ball skills aren't great. Driving skills aren't great. His first step isn't great, but his shot is really amazing. And he's 6'5 with crazy long arms, a little on the weak side. So like I talked about strength being like one of the most important defensive qualities. He doesn't have that, but I think he has the frame to add that. So like beginning of the first, maybe end of the second, like if he comes in, I can see teams falling in love with this guy in workouts when he comes in and shoots like, you know, 55 out of 60 threes in your little drill or whatever. And he looks really good in like the shuttle cones, right? He's putting up really great times in that. He's athletic, not a great ball handler, but like a Danny Green type is actually a pretty good comparison. As far as comparisons go, that's not a bad one.
Cool. The bigger question is, Alan, do you like whipped cream on your Shake Milton? Oh.
Yeah. I had to think.
I guess that was a bad joke.
No, I had to think about it for a second. Yes, I love whipped cream.
Okay, Shake Milton sounds like a great name that broadcasters will love the moment he steps onto the court, if he does at all. Okay, last question. Who's the best upside pick based purely off rawness and skill, like your best Bruno Caboclo, Giannis Antetokounmpo, that you could probably take a swing on and it might pay off, but it probably won't? There's a 20% chance it'll pay off, but yeah, most raw upside.
Well, I mean, I probably already said the guy that I would choose for this, the Barisa Simonich guy, but if I have to choose somebody else,
like just super long, super athletic, has like probably not a lot of skill, but he's still young, you know, someone like that. But
somebody that I don't like, to be frank, like I don't think you should draft this guy, but somebody who is interesting in the way that you're talking about. And if somebody said like he turned out to be a good player, then you know, then I guess I wouldn't be surprised. His name is Devin Robinson out of Florida. He's a 6'7 guy, super athletic, long arms. You know, you think that he should be able to guard 3 through maybe 5, definitely 3 through 4, and shows like a little bit of offensive skills. Like every once in a while will show you a little bit of handle that maybe he could be a secondary creator. Shows you like a little bit of a jump shot, and his form is like pretty smooth. So you think like, oh, you know, you're kind of tempted to think we can teach this guy to shoot. Just super raw, like never developed, came in as a high level guy just because of those physical attributes, the measurables that I talked about, but hasn't really developed. Someone who I think rumors are that he's actually going to commit to the drafts, and he potentially could go undrafted. Some people have him as high as like this, the end of the first. I think that's insane. But if you buy a pick at the end and kind of draft him around like 50 or 55, this guy could turn out to be, you know, something in that mold, where just freak athletically, who happens to be hiding in plain sight and, you know, adds the skill stuff late.
Cool. Awesome. It's only fitting that we started with Milton Milkshake and Semi Nemanjovic and ended with Devin Robinson. the most generic NBA my player name in the world. So exactly. That's how it goes. So with that said, Sean, thank you so much for joining us on the Lakers Legacy podcast. It was very enlightening. Obviously, we have not delved into these prospects whatsoever to a larger extent, but we hope to do so as the season ends. And it was really good to just get you to throw out some names, even names that are not on Draft Express, which is the normal board that people typically go to. So thank you again for joining us and giving us your insight and just talking basketball with us, which is always great. So if you wanted, please just plug your handles once again and where people can find you. Obviously, we are part of the Almighty Baller Radio podcast network, so check out Sean and Ode to Odin. But yeah, go ahead.
Well, first of all, thanks a lot, guys, for having me on. This has been fun. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Ode to Odin, and just go check out my podcast, see what it's all about. I have a really interesting episode that I'm actually really proud of dropping either tonight or sometime tomorrow about the 2018 and 2019 draft, where I kind of relax a little bit of my standards and we just get excited about these guys that are coming up and their potential. So check that out. That's a fun one. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
You know, I'm just doing this and that's all.
All right, so that was our late first round, early second round, early draft introduction with Sean Darenthal of Ode to Odin podcast. You know, Alan, I was just joking with Sean with regards to making up people, but man, I felt like he was really testing us there with some of the names he was throwing out. Some of those names almost made Shakuta Berry Mata Boom Boom sound like John Brown or something.
I mean, that guy's a pretty good wing, so.
Who, John Brown?
No, the other one.
Shakuta Berry Mata Boom Boom?
I just want to see if he could do it again. That was good, man.
I think Shakuta Berry was a center, if I believe, Lakers that we never actually had come over. Just like Adar Majok.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely doesn't beat Pacemficus. Whatever Sean was saying. I don't even remember anymore. We pretty much have to listen to back on our own podcast to remember these names and really write them down. We probably would get the spelling incorrect, but I feel like Sean really did really give us an in-depth deep delve into some names that we could definitely study up on.
Absolutely.
Draft.
I mean, I thought he was just going to look at NCAA players, but he really took the international route. So it was great to have that, you know, depth of knowledge, and definitely got me motivated to research these guys, especially as the season comes to a close and we approach the draft.
And especially as we win more games. But at least, like we said, we either have the 28th pick from Houston, and if we lose our pick, we do also get the 32nd, which will make this podcast even more important because Sean threw out a lot of names and we might have to pick two out of that range. So yeah, hope you guys enjoyed that. Once again, please follow us on Twitter at Lakers Legacy Pod. Please also rate and review us on iTunes, because the more you rate and review us, Alan,
that is how many times Julius Randle will not pump fake to the
infinity
power, to the nth power, basically. Yeah, stop that, Julius.
And beyond. I don't know why I'm speaking like Oprah. With that said, thank you guys for joining us. Also, if you have kids, DreamWorks Animation has this bomb movie coming out called The Boss Baby. Take them to see that. Alec Baldwin as a little tot. It's like a PG-rated version of Family Guy, pretty much. Alan, you're going to come to DreamWorks on Monday and watch it, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure.
Really funny movie. Really witty movie. It was the last project I got to work on while I was working with the marketing team at DreamWorks. Now I'm obviously in production. But yeah, Boss Baby, check it out. All right, with that said, we will catch you guys later. Alan.
Laters.
And Shaq, one more time.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
I wanna rock right now. I'm Shaq D's and I came to get down. I'm not internationally known, but I've been known to rock the microphone. And I don't know the rest of the lyrics, but I keep on going.